Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Green County program presented by the Community State Bank in Peyton. This is Coltrane Carlson, and our guest today from the Green County Medical Center Public Health Department is our immunization coordinator, Jill Jurgensen, joining us now because it is National Infant Immunization Week here. So thank you very much, Jill, for being on.
Thanks for having me, Coltrane.
You bet. Well, Jill, with it being National Infant Immunization Week, can you just tell us a little bit about why it's important for infants to receive immunizations?
Vaccination is one of the best ways for parents to protect their infants, children, and teens. Immunizations we give protect them against 16 potentially harmful diseases. Vaccine-preventable diseases can be very serious. They may require hospitalization or even be deadly, especially in the infants and the young children.
All right. And then can you tell us, I know there's probably some immunizations out there that's maybe required for infants to have, and are there some others that are maybe just recommended?
Each state is able to decide which immunizations are required for a child's enrollment, either to a daycare or a school in that state. For Iowa, child care facilities and schools require vaccines, some such as diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, polio, pneumococcal vaccine, HIV vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, and hepatitis B. The number of doses required vary by age. Tdap and meningitis are also new requirements for 7th and 12th graders. And some of the ones that aren't required but are recommended for kids in different age groups, we give hepatitis A, human papillomavirus or HPV vaccine, meningitis B vaccine, which is one of the newer vaccines, and also the influenza vaccine.
Of those that are the kind of the required ones that you pointed out there earlier, of those, which are some of the more stereotypical or the ones that are just the typical ones that infants kind of contract if they don't happen to get those immunizations soon enough?
One of the things that they've really focused on in recent years is the whooping cough. They do require that each woman, when she's pregnant, she gets a tetanus booster, which also includes that whooping cough part of the vaccine. And that in turn protects the infants too, kind of gives them some natural immunity or some passive immunity from the mother. So that's one of the things that we focused on.
And then I'm sure maybe people have this in their mind, maybe they don't, if they don't happen to have a kid or they're expecting their first child. When you refer to someone as an infant, what age ranges are you talking about there?
Infant is actually just a more formal term for a baby. A child is no longer considered an infant when they can walk and talk. For most kids, that starts around a year of age.
It seems like, you know, a lot of these immunizations require frequent trips to a clinic or a child's provider. It seems to me like it's some are required right away and then 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months down the road. Can you explain why that is?
In public health, we follow the ACIP guidelines, which is the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. It's a group of medical and public health experts that review available data on existing vaccines and also on new vaccines that come out. They set the recommendations by looking at the effectiveness of the vaccines at certain ages, severity of the disease that it prevents, how many people get the disease without vaccination, and how well our bodies respond to that vaccine. This then helps them determine the number of doses needed, timing of doses, age to be vaccinated, and precautions and contraindications for any of the vaccines.
Again, kind of a strict guideline, if you will, as far as what you're looking for to get these infants and their immunizations on track. But there's still people out there that have that argument of, you know, immunizations just really aren't needed for my kid. I know we kind of explained the importance right away at the beginning of our program. Can you just reiterate and just tell us again why immunizations are really needed, especially for those infants?
Even though most parents today have never seen firsthand the devastation and the consequences of the diseases like diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, or measles, they do still persist around the world. It's very important to continue to immunize our children because outbreaks of these vaccine-preventable diseases like whooping cough or mumps or measles can and do occur in this country.
Could you tell us if there's any possible illnesses or diseases that if an infant doesn't happen to get an immunization could lead to death?
Yep, I would say that any of the vaccine-preventable diseases that we immunize for can lead to hospitalization, complications, and death. The chances of death in most of those is not, percentage isn't very high, but it is possible with all of those diseases.
I'm sure people maybe have heard the term meningococcal before, but can you explain what that basically is?
Meningococcal disease is an infection kind of in your spinal cord, in the fluid around your brain, around your spinal cord. It can cause devastating illness, can actually cause death. It can cause loss of limb, blindness, deafness, all kinds of things. So,
also, just kind of from other people's perspective, if you're going to be around a newborn, we'll say, it's recommended that adults get the Tdap vac as well. Can you tell us why adults need to get that vaccine if they're going to be around those newborns?
Just for the fact that the kids do not get that whooping cough vaccine until they're 2 months of age. So in that first 2 months of life, it just protects them if they have people around them that have had the vaccine, people that are caring for them. It just gives kind of a blanket protection for those infants.
A lot of stuff that we talked about here today, a lot of different immunizations for the infants as well as for adults that, you know, kind of help the infant in its developmental stages. Could you tell us, you know, are there some services that Public Health or Greene County Medical Center offer for parents or infants that can receive their immunization?
We do have our immunization clinic every Wednesday, where our offices are open from 8 to 4:30. We have an evening clinic the third Thursday of every month from 4 to 6 o'clock. That kind of helps those parents who maybe are working during the daytime, gives them some evening hours to bring those kids in for immunizations. And we also do immunizations any other day of the week as long as we have a nurse available to do that.
And you accept most health insurance coverages, plans for those as well?
We are able to bill private insurance companies for vaccine, and we are also able to serve those kids with Medicaid or that don't have any health insurance and have that vaccine available for them too.
And that's our guest for today's Community State Bank in Peyton Let's Talk Greene County program, here with Greene County Public Health Immunization Coordinator Jill Jurgensen. Once again, Community State Bank in Peyton is an independent, locally owned bank in business since 1956. Back with more here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.